Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the way you sang. This is the word of the Lord.
This is Psalm 95, 1 through 3, the NIV version. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, an awesome God, and a great king above all gods." Go back and read that today, Psalm 95, the whole psalm, but Psalm 95, 1 through 3. That is an affirmation that if we speak into our hearts, we can get through anything that we face. Another good one, Psalm 100 and verse 4. And you know this because we used to open service every Sunday with, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." I love these two psalms. They're great. I love the psalms. If sometimes you have a lack of words, pray the psalms back to God, because David had an awesome ability to be able to express sometimes when you can't think of how should I express this to the Lord. He just never lacked for words and for emotion.
Amen. You know, you ought to write those scriptures down, and on Thursday morning you ought to look those up and read those, and maybe go through your scripture and read some of the words of thanksgiving today. And we open that way with a heart of thanksgiving. Did you notice one word that seemed to pop out as she was reading? There was one common word that began to jump out over and over. You know, what was it?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We've already sung this morning, "With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord." Thanksgiving starts there. Didn't start with the Pilgrims. Didn't start there. Didn't start with Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving. It didn't start there. Thanksgiving starts in the heart. Thanksgiving is a thing of the heart. Thanksgiving and the celebration of Thanksgiving is not circumstantial. In other words, it doesn't depend if everything's going great and wonderful. It is a Bible thing. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to have a workshop of Thanksgiving. Sometimes you gotta you preach something, but you need to try something. You need to put it into practice. Linda and I have laughed about our old friend George Evans, who's in heaven now, and we laughed with Susan and with Don about George Evans, and he was had that y'all remember him, "Hallelujah," and he had that voice there, and I remember doing some meetings with him when I was younger, and I was the singer. You know, and I remember one time he would do these things and he'd preach on certain things and he said, "Now we're going to have a workshop and we're going to come down, we're going to put that into practice there," and we would and just do it. And it seemed mechanical, but he was teaching us, he was getting us in shape there. Today is a Thanksgiving workshop. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, here's where we land. Stand to your feet right now. Here's where we land in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Here's where we start today, and we make this affirmation today. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. One more time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
That's the daily template where we start. And we lay a foundation in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says in three short verses, it says, number one, rejoice always. 17th verse says then, pray without ceasing. And then it says this, in everything, give thanks. Stop right there. In everything? That's what I wanted to hear. In everything? In everything, really, for true, as we say down here, in everything, give thanks. Why? Notice this state. We forget this here, right here. This is the will of God. Whoa, I just want to do God's will. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do God's will. Start by thanking him. Feet hit the floor. Lumbago's acting up. There's something not quite right there, but still you're going, Lord, I thank you today. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I want to do what God wants. You want to do God's will? Let me read it again. In everything give thanks, for this, in fact, I underline, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Our workshop today begins with an intentional gratitude attitude development exercise. A gratitude attitude. I talked about the beginning of everything, a thanksgiving starting in the heart. Well, a thing that helps to fire that up to understand it is the type of attitude that we have toward God. How many of you ever heard somebody made the statement, oh, I'm a person of faith, I'm spiritual. Well, you don't need to be that. You really don't need to be that. I got all the faith. I have faith in humanity. I have faith in the world. I have faith in the trees. I have faith in the FDIC. I have faith in the World Economic Forum. No. Here's what it says. Faith has to be channeled, okay? Faith that is not channeled is hoping, wishing, fingers crossed. The word says that if you're going to have faith, faith needs to be channeled and focused and grounded in God. It is, the first foundation truth is this. Are these words, faith toward God. You got it? And it starts with two very simple words in our life as we're walking before God. And the simple words are, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've told you your attitude affects. In fact, if you're married, you understand your attitude affects everything. And I should have added, and your tone. Your attitude and your tone. How many of you know you can say the right things, but have you ever heard, I don't like your tone? Do you think God sometimes is not impressed with your tone? Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Yeah, no. I don't like your tone. I don't like your tone. See what you, attitude affects everything. Our attitude decides if you're going to be good. Attitude decides if you're going to perform well. Attitude decides if you're going to lift yourself up or you're going to drag. Attitude decides when you walk into a certain situation, will you stand there and will you present yourself or will you walk in like this? Attitude is a little bit, attitude's everything. Attitude is everything. You watch some of these ball players. Attitude. We've seen people that are in their bodies. They're amazing. They're super. Their ability. I was reading a story the other day about a famous quarterback and in college, he was a physical specimen like they had not seen. He was amazing. Actually, in one of the drills, he knelt down, put on his knees on about the other 40-yard line, and on his knees, he threw a football into the end zone. He was an amazing athlete, amazing. He ended up being a top draft choice, a number one draft choice. But you know something? He didn't have the right attitude. He wasn't, and he wasn't bright on top of it. And how do you know if you're not bright and you have a bad attitude? That's a bad combination right there. You got they got the feeling that he wasn't studying the game films, and he wasn't learning. He couldn't learn the plays. And what they did when they were using VHS cassettes with the plays, they would load him up and they'd say, these are defense coverages we want you to look at of the team that you're going to be facing. And they gave them to him on Monday, and he brought them back on Friday. He said, man, those were some defenses. What he didn't know, they had given him blank cassettes. He hadn't bothered to study. How's that for an attitude? Well, he didn't last long. Attitude affects everything, good and bad. Sometimes that's where I got to work on my attitude. I got attitude problems. Anybody have an attitude? Anybody sitting next to anybody with an attitude? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding you. Attitude. It's tough sometimes. You know, I go into some situations and I've started from square one with the bad attitude. And if they say the sky is blue, I still have a problem with it. You know, because, you know, we're all that way. We have those things. But when we approach God, it has to be an attitude. Our start is quite involved. It's quite complicated. And it starts with two special words, as I've said. Say it with me.
Thank you.
Would you just say it?
Thank you.
You hear how you're saying it? You're even coloring it sweet. Try it again. Go. Right. Thank you. Thank you. You know the sound, don't you? You know the sound. It's not like two little kids when they've been fighting and one mom says, tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Is he sorry? No. Tell God you love him. I love you. I love you. You feel that, don't you? It's love there. Say it to him again. Go ahead, say it with two words. Go.
Thank you.
Lord, you've been so good to me.
Thank you.
Lord, you woke me up this morning.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you. You've done things in my life that I just can't believe.
Thank you.
Lord, I shouldn't be living today.
Thank you.
Lord, you have purpose for me.
Thank you.
Lord, I love you.
Thank you.
You feel that right there? What was that? That's a workshop. Two powerful words. You should try to say it. Say that even out. Say thank you as much as you can. Say thank you. It'll confound the people of today. And by the way, two words. Saying thank you to him and saying thank you is not a powerless exercise. It is a powerful key. People like to hear it. You like to hear it, don't you? Imagine God. That's my boy. He likes me. He's thanking me today. It is an affirmation. Listen to this statement. It is the affirmation of our steadfast God. And it's something that needs to come out of our mouth so our ears can hear it every day. David dealt with it in Psalm 118. Psalm 119 gets all the play. Psalm 119 gets all the showbiz, but Psalm 118 is a blast. And he opens Psalm 118, I'm reading the English Standard here, and he says, oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Do you hear the attitude in which I'm even reading it? Oh, give thanks. It's an imploring. It's bubbling. It's warm. It's inviting. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, Psalm 118 is a pivotal psalm, okay? Here's something a little different for you that probably a lot of you don't know. Psalm 118 is a very pivotal psalm. Now, when you hear that Psalm 118, it's not just there in the Old Testament. How many of you remember, you won't remember where it is, I'm going to tell you where it is, but and we go by it very, very quickly when we get to the Easter and the Good Friday season. And remember when the story is being told of how in the upper room it says they served that last dinner. And there's a statement it says right there, and it's in Matthew 26, and here's what it says. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You remember that statement there that they were together when the party was over? Okay, let me stop right there. They sang a hymn. There is very, very strong, because you see, these Jewish people, these people of God's covenant, they were people of tradition. And from tradition and from the scholars that have done research, they feel that it is highly likely that they were singing some of the words in Psalm 118. In fact, there's about a six-chapter thing, I think 15, 16, 17, 8, 118, somewhere in those areas, where that segment is called the Hallel. It's where you get your word hallelujah. And it meant praise in Hebrew, and it actually referred to the cluster of psalms between, I think, 110 or 113 through 118. You got it? Okay. Now, by the way, 119 is considered the dead center of your Bible. Okay. Oh, man, there's so much we could do right here. And when you read some of these chapters, these were songs of praise that rehearsed and reminded of the deliverance of Israel. You got it? When God delivered them, and they were exclaiming joy and blessing. Even though they had gone through difficult things and they had been in captive, and some things actually in some of these words were prophetic at the same time about the Messiah, which was to come. It was all intertwined there. So some of the historians feel that this was actually what they were singing when it says, and they sang some hymns there. You see highlights of the Messiah. You also see the irony that's going forth right now. In fact, it's likely that Psalm 118 and the threads that I'm going to read for you in a minute were likely the last songs that Jesus sang when he was here. With that in mind, I read verse 1 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, watch this. Remember, keep this in mind. Got it? Verse 2. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. All right? That's the group there. Got it? The next statement, let the house of Aaron say. What was the house of Aaron? Who were they? Okay. Even let the priest say, his steadfast love. And that needs to be the message. When you're in a presidential campaign, each day there's what they call the message of the day. And everybody is on that message of that day. What is the message? The message there, he is saying to all of you, the steadfast love endures forever. He's saying to the priest, say his steadfast love endures forever. Then it says to the rank and file, let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Now, in terms of what's going to happen in a couple days, listen to what Jesus said. Out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me, and he set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Oh, man. The Lord is on my side as my helper, and I shall look on triumph. Look back in triumph is the best way to say it, on those who hated me and connived against me. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. You know, I've got problems. You know, I deal with a lot of things up there. 4th of July up here sometimes. And restraining it is very difficult at times. When I write some of these scriptures on my notes, I put some words of that I want to emphasize, or a point that I want to say, or a response to what I say. I promise you, when I wrote this, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I will look at triumph on those who hate me. I want you to read what I wrote down to the first line there of my notes to encourage me.
Wait, I can't see that. Oh, God. Yabba dabba do.
That's it right there. I didn't know what else to say. I could have been religious and said, hallelujah, amen. But when I read these words, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. He's my helper. I will look in triumph on those who hate me. I had to say, yabba dabba do. When the boys were little, that was one of the first things I taught them. Jeff, yabba, come on, yabba, dabba, dabba, do. Got it, keep doing. To me, that's an affirmation of strength. That means we win. That is a spirit of rejoicing. Come on, what would you say? The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. He shall look in triumph on those who hate me. What would you say? Bingo, you got it. You'll never forget it, will you? Fast forward to verse 17. Now watch this. Remember of the days ahead for Jesus Christ. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. That's a multifaceted promise there. That is not only a future prophecy of what's going to happen to him literally, but it's something for you. You need to know right now. That you need to know that right now. Christians, remember this for your days ahead. Jesus had to remember it for yours. Go forward on to verse 23. This is, and I wrote all. This is all the Lord's doing. If you get that in your head, you start seeing a picture. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, where did you get the little song that you sing all the time? In verse 24, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Stop. You are gonna walk up a hill with a cross on your back, and you're standing there saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made? Starts with an affirmation in the heart, doesn't it? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Fast forward, verse 28. Affirmation. You are my God, and I'll give thanks to you. It's easy to give thanks on a sunshiny day. It's easy when everything's just sunshine and roses. But boy, it's a tough one sometimes. This is the day the Lord hath made. I've done my share of weddings. I've done my share of funerals. There's one statement that I make at the beginning of every one of them, whether it is a wedding or whether it is a funeral. And I say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. At the wedding, everybody's going, oh, isn't that sweet? At the funeral, they stop for just a minute. And I will usually say, and on some days, it's harder to say than others. By the way, it's okay to admit some of these things. Don't be so spiritual that you can't admit some of the struggles you're having. David poured his heart out toward God. Find somebody you can agree with. It's okay. You're not fooling God. This is the day the Lord hath made. Verse 28, fast forward. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. That is a grandiose delivery. I will... We hear words like magnify the Lord. What do you do when you magnify? You make it big. You make it big. How many of you know now? Some of you said, well, I got this phone. I don't know what to do with all this camera and stuff. And now you use, how many of you use your camera right now to take pictures of labels that you can't read and you blow? How many of you do that? Anybody do that right now? Come on, anybody do that? All of you do it. Magnify it so you can read it. You are my God. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's where we came in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That steadfast is a good word. It means you can set your watch to it. Facing the biggest challenge of his earthly life regarding the completion of a 33-year assignment, and knowing what was ahead, Jesus said those words, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And you know, sometimes because of our quote, I wrote it in quotes, of the life stuff we walk through, we often forget the affirmation that the Lord is saying that the Lord is good. Affirming that word, that thank you. It's a workshop. We're working at it today. And this practice of encouragement to ourselves and even to God is so vital when you're living in that which is so discouraging. Open your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Lord is good. Mercy endures forever. I'm not having a good day. Jesus wasn't having a good day when he knew what was ahead. The Lord is good. His steadfast love. It's always there. This is the day the Lord hath made. Oh, God, you got to be kidding. I will rejoice and be glad. I don't know about you. We live in a world today. It's hard to give thanks more and more at times, isn't it? Just go to the grocery. It's hard to give thanks when you walk through that place. Yeah, that's right. Somebody said before you vote, go to the grocery store, all right? Yesterday, we got up real early because we wanted to beat the crowds. And so I drove to the store real early. It was about 8:00 in the morning. And we were there. And we've got this deal. Please don't make me go in. You know, there's a couple reasons there. She doesn't want me there because I start finding things that need to go in the basket. And God forbid, keep me out of the cereal aisle. I'm like a kid, you know. everything kicks in there, you know. You don't need all those things. You don't need all that stuff there. And here's the deal. When you're headed to the checkout, just text me and go, and hey, I'm checking out now, and I'll be there for you, and I'll help you do that. You heard Walmart's closing for Christmas? Just so the two checkers can take the day off with their families. So here we are. Yesterday, she gives me the note. I come in there. I'm ready to serve. You know, I'm just the happy warrior, you know. And I go in there, and she's got this basket here. And she goes through it, and she's checking it and everything like that. She's really good. She can do those potatoes, and she can put it to do all that stuff. Me, my eyes go out of focus there, you know. And I ask, I got to have somebody come help me, you know. Why do we need those potatoes when you can buy those yams in that can? She went, no. So here we are there, and the basket is kind of hefty, and we're there, and we haven't been in a while, so we're doing our thing, and the trainer, Tyler, eats more than all of us now. He's got to have these, he keeps fueling up. So here we are, and she looked at me, she said, and she's looking at the list, and she says, you see that? And there's not even any meat in it either, she said, because we all know what that is right now. It's hard to be thankful when we walk in a grocery store, the way they're downsizing things, you've seen that? The way they change those things. Somebody said, I bought a bag of air for $5 and they gave me 10 potato chips inside of it. It's kind of how I feel personally. I want to say something personally about to each of you about me. I was born a male. I identify as a male. But according to Stouffer's lasagna, I'm a family of four. You got it? I'm a family of four. It's changing. Then I'm reminded of Grandma always used to tell us, be grateful, though, for what you have. Be thankful in those things. Paul said it another way in Hebrews 12. He's doing a liftoff of what happened in Psalm 118. He said, therefore, let us be grateful. By the way, being grateful is a God thing. You got it? That's a character. That's, in fact, that is actually one of the things that when we're not grateful anymore, that puts us in line with the people who are evil in the last days. When they describe the character of people that were unholy, you see unholy, but very soon you see ungrateful there. You just don't want to be that way. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom. That is an understanding where we are ain't the final stop. For receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But I've been shaken. I don't know about you. I read this, but I've been shook up. I'm shook right now. We're all shook. The world's shook right now. But I'm not receiving the kingdom here. Receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire. They offered that sacrifice, the visual of that, of what they understand there. They unto God, and the fire of heaven fell on that and accepted that and consumed all of that. So I say to you, let us be grateful. Let us say, not just in November every year, thank you, Lord, but let's say it in June and July. But we soon forget because the spirit of complaining and discouragement falls over us. Why? Because we are humans. We're humans, and we're all subject to dealing with that. I don't know. I can go into that real easy. I can go into that very easy. I mean, I can go in from 0 to 60 and complain real easy. That's why it's a work. You got to work at it every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jim Cimbala said something really cool about complaining and the power of complaining. He said it's illogical, this thing about complaining. He said many of us have 7 problems, but we have 770,000 blessings. Yet we only want to talk about our problems. Let's count our blessings and thank the Lord for every good gift that comes from Him today. That's the way we're wired. You know that? We have so many blessings. God's done so much for us. And we start totaling them up on the legal pad on the left side and the right side. And we got 7 little things on the other side. And we got page after page on the left side. That's the way we are. So I say to you, we need to keep dreaming. We need to keep growing. We need to keep giving thanks. In fact, it says, in everything give thanks. That, by the way, is the Thanksgiving message. Some of you say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, right. But, you know, God doesn't really know what I'm going through. You know, I'm not happy at all right now here. But you're not the only one. It's a long line. It's nothing new. This mindset in God's face refusing to rejoice and give thanks. It was fully illustrated for us in Scripture with the carnality of the children of Israel. They started going wrong in their lives every time before of two things. Number one, their lack of unbelief when they chose not to believe. But the other thing, their lack of gratitude toward the Almighty God. When they look back, and the writing of Psalm 118 also draw some of those pictures there of what God had done for them, the captivity of them. And we read these psalms over and over, rehearsing what God has done. And yet when things got just a little bit rough and the grocery cart got a little thin, we lose, but I'm grateful. Not a foolish, empty drill. You know, when you read that whole story back in Numbers, the children of Israel, they're grumbling, they're complaining, they're disobeying. And at every turn, because here's God wanting to bring them in. Now, by the way, God's not going to want to bring you into a new thing if you're dragging your feet, fussing at God about some things that didn't happen. Or reminding God that, well, how do I know that? Well, it seems that each turn, God decided to add another year to a trip that should have taken just 11 days. You're going to be ungrateful? That's a year. Boom. That's a year. How many of you understand? Y'all, I graduated from public school, but I still know 11 days is better than 40 years. See, the lack of gratitude can be quite a load. Draw it in understanding this way. If you were 10 years old when your family walked out of Egypt, if you were 10 when you walked through the Red Sea, if you were 10 when you tasted food that started falling out of the sky from God, if you were 10 years old and stood by with wide eyes and watched water come out of a rock right in front of your eyes, if you were 10 years old and the heat was beating you down and God said, well, I'm going to put a cloud over them so they won't get skin cancers walking over there. Well, at night, you know, it gets chilly in the desert out there. We're cold. God, well, I'll just turn that into fire. I'll warm you up. If you were 10 years old when you had some of that and still there, you lived in a family and you heard a spirit of grumbling, complaining, and lack of gratitude, you were 50 years old. You had children. You had grandchildren. God's course and God's plan and God's trip, it would have been changed if they'd have kept an attitude of gratitude. Sounds like my life, though. It sounds like our lives because we're human, and sometimes we admit it's not easy. I'm mad. I can't do this. I'm sad. I can't do this. I'm afraid. I can't be grateful. I can't say those things. But my question is to you, like the children of Israel, I wonder how many blessings that I've missed because I decided to have my scale weighed down in those 770,000 things that were aggravating to me, that had blessed me versus the 77 things that had aggravated me. What a truth that is. How many blessings have I missed? How many laps has God added? I don't know. We'll only know when it's over. John Bevere said it this way: complaining kept the Israelites from their promised land, and it can keep you from yours. It takes work. Yes, a heart must be right toward God. It starts with the intentional spirit of gratitude. If you will, setting your heart. In fact, you know, Colossians says it this way, that you focus, you set your thoughts on that which is good. The things that are heavenly. The things that are, you lock. Actually, one translation says, you must set your affections. Boy, that's a whole message. Maybe we'll come back to it one day. John Maxwell says all the virtues in life, the least expressed virtue is that of gratitude. He says because gratitude, John Maxwell says this, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. He says gratitude makes sense in our past. It brings peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow. So as I start to land your plane today, I went to the Message Bible and I took a familiar passage and I figure if I read it in a different translation, you'll listen better because I don't want you saying I know that already. The Message Bible in Isaiah 40:27. Why should you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, O Israel? God's lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. And the retort is, don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's the creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to the dropouts. I read that on the radio, this script on the radio the other night. He knows everything inside out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to the dropouts. For even young people get tired and drop out. Young folks in the prime of their lives stumble and fall. But those who wait, stop right there. Wait. Wait is not passive here, okay? Wait is not passive. Wait is not idle. Wait is not this, okay? Wait is not intentionally passing time. Wait is an intentional mindset. It's an anticipatory thing inside of our, it is almost like you're waiting, and you're looking out there, and you're on your tiptoes, and you're waiting and anticipating. How many of you got a little four-legged buddy in your house? And all of a sudden, you come to the door, and there's yelping or climbing in the windows and dancing up and down and things like that. And you, oh, you got, we got two voices, okay? We really do. I mean, you've heard those, you've heard that story. You know, you step on your husband's foot. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But boy, you walk in the kitchen and you step on Rover's paw. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. Oh, sweet baby, I didn't mean to do that at all. Oh, I just love you so. Like that. We got two voices. You know how the little buddy's waiting for you to come home? That's the mindset when he said, but those who wait, tiptoes, wait, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming home. He's coming home. Those who wait, that's active, upon the Lord get fresh strength. Fresh strength, fresh wind, fresh wings, fresh legs, fresh oil, fresh perspective, fresh start. I'm going to do a whole message on those one day. And it said they spread their wings and they soar like eagles. They run, they don't get tired, and they don't lag behind. Now, I don't know about you, if I read that, I can't complain. Oh, I'm going to have things I deal with and things I don't like and things I need to correct. In fact, I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. I'll come back to it. Let's give. By the way, when I wrote, let's give thanks, what was our message last week? God so loved that he did what? Gave, okay? So when we love him, we are giving him thanks, something that's out of us. That's the kickstart for our spirit of gratitude. By the way, the scripture says that kind of attitude is healthy to your body. If you're walking around and you're dour all the time and it's all bad and it's all negative and the glass is always, in fact, somebody stole your glass. I mean, and if you're looking at things like that, you're not going to be healthy in a lot of ways in your mind and in your body. And you're just going to be a miserable person and not a lot of fun to be with. But when I'm asking you to make an affirmation and say the Lord is great, even in your difficult, this is not some, I'm not asking you to parrot some Christianese. Okay, that's where we are today. People parrot Christianese. They parrot things because they're supposed to say these things. And that's not true right now. I see people deny circumstances, or ignoring what's going on even in their bodies. No, no, no. That's not faith. That's presumption. God gave you a brain. And while you're walking through the due diligence, you're saying, the Lord is with me. The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. He will stand with me. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm not feeling perfect right now, but I'm gonna say what the word wants me to say because God hears it and he sees it. And I've seen people like that. Don't say anything. I was talking to somebody not long ago. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I want to pray for you. Well, I can tell you got a problem. I can see it. I'm not blind. You've got a problem right now. You know, and a lot of people say it this way. Don't be spooky. Be spiritual. What's the word say? Don't ooh and ah and bells and whistles and things like that. No, be spiritual. Man, I'm telling you, I'm just believing for this right now. I want you to agree with me. And then that's when you quote all, you know, weapon formed against me will prosper. That's when you begin to quote those things. The Lord is on my side. I will do my due diligence. Can you see God? Look, your faith's bad. You took an aspirin. Every good gift comes from God. If you understand the priority of it. Does that make sense? If you're saying a gratitude, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm dealing with this right now. I feel this thing right now. But I'm just believing, and I'm going to say it over and over again. I said, use your God-given brain that was part of our original equipment, but ask him for discernment. What should I do? You're giving thanks, like the waiting, is not a passive, que sera, sera, whatever will be. And I think people get kind of mixed up there that if they, well, if I say, no, that God's big, God's good. He loves his kids. And when he sees us struggling, that's why you see the parallel picture. That imagine, remember I read about 3-4 weeks ago, if your earthly father will do something for you as you ask, imagine how much more your heavenly father will do for you. Doesn't that make you want to just say thank you? I think so. It is prayerful, it is proactive, but it is not passive. And you may have to do some things of natural correction in the pathway. What are you talking about? Okay, we're going to read this in a few weeks from right now. The wise men were there. The king was saying one thing. They went to see the baby Jesus, and the spirit of revelation came upon them. And they said, wait, go home the other way. There's an ambush. That wasn't lack of faith. That was listening to the voice of God. Here's Paul, who wrote the whole right side of your scripture that talked about us walking and standing in faith. We read his stuff when all these confessions. Do you know that the intimidation factor, Paul, they're going to kill you if you go that way. You know what the apostle of faith did? They put him in a basket and lifted him over the wall at night with a rope. They brought him over the side over there and lifted him. That was not, he didn't have lack of faith. God gave him the revelation. He did what he had to do. The apostle of faith encouraged us more than ever. You're going to have to work on this because it's not popular to have that kind of mindset anymore. You see, people love gravitating to the victim clubs today. Victimization has become a highly profitable grift in our world right now to draw people in the idea of victimology. Don't have time to go into that right now. But if you cater to that thing right now, it'll lead more to destruction on so many levels. First, it fragments us from the group together of God's people. And the truth today is founded on and in God's word. It is first the fulfilling of God's command, and it is the fueling component of our walk with God. It's the fulfilling and it's the fueling in our walk with God right now. Philippians 4 says it this way. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every, what's every mean? By thought. By prayer, by petition. That's that waiting. That's that, God, I'm glad you're home. Waiting. The old, I'm waiting, anticipating, those great fun songs. In every situation, by prayer and petition. Notice it's not a passive, God, you know this and go home. No, God, and it's an ongoing thing. But how are you praying? What is it mixed with? As Archie Dennis would say, it is mingled with thanksgiving. In everything, with prayer, that's the thing. Petition, that's the thing. With thanksgiving, present yourself to God. And notice this next statement. As you make that delivery and you make the handoff, and the peace of God that transcends all natural, carnal, fearful, fleshly, aggravated flesh will guard your hearts. Where did thanksgiving begin? In your heart and in your minds in Christ Jesus. Humans like to hear thank you, but so does God. Tell him right now.